our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. So I ask you to think back, that is, if you're alive back then, in the mid-1970s. And for those that weren't alive, pay attention. There was not a whole lot of entertainment in the 70s or the mid-70s. There was some, but not a lot. In fact, back then, if you bought a 1970 car, you had the option to pay for FM radio. It came with an AM radio, but you can buy the FM radio upgrade. And maybe if you're really wealthy, you can go ahead and get the 8-track tape player, maybe cassette. Somewhere it fell in there somewhere. So thinking back then and thinking on TV, you get Channel 2, UHF, Channel 74, and maybe 10, sometimes 12, 7. And that's it. Now, put three boys in that situation, 6th grade, 5th grade, and 4th grade in the middle of the summer. Something is about to happen. So these three boys lived in this rural community and were told not to do certain things, and has a high school sitter who would rather take naps than to participate in any type of activities with these three boys. So we lived close to this high hill made out of limestone, and in close, I mean 5 to 7 blocks. That was the width of the town anyway. We decide, my brothers and I, to ride our bikes to what we call the Rock. Now, this is Pawnee Rock. It's a historical land site. It's a park, and it's 8 miles east of Fort Larned. So that kind of gives you a perspective of where this is. And if you ride or drive up there, if you've ever done that, you can drive your car along the blacktop, come up to the top, go to the lookout tower, climb up there, and you can see 13 miles to Great Bend. You get a very good view of the Arkansas River and a very good view of the Santa Fe Trail. The Indians used to use this as a lookout point before it was settled there, and then the soldiers used that to protect the wagon train going across that part of Kansas going to Fort Larned. So it was pretty high up. So these three boys, 6th, 5th, and 4th graders, decide to ride their bicycles up to the top because you can get up all kinds of speed going down. And it happened to be this highway that when you run out into this highway, there's sometimes cars. So, of course, that's why my mom doesn't want us up there playing around, especially if we don't let them know. So we go. And we have a good time. We're zooming our bikes down and playing on the rocks and all that. And we come home before both my parents come home from work. This is during the summer, so my mother's working at the grain elevator, so she has to come home, eat something, and leave. And my dad may come home or may not come home because he's a mechanic in the ag field, so he's working on combines and tractors, etc. So my mom comes home. We get home. Babysitters or the sitters like, oh, yep, everything was fine. There were no problem at all. And she goes on her way. And my mom says, so why were you at the Rock today? It's like, well, you look at each other and say, well, what do you mean? We don't know what you're talking about. My mom says, I know and see everything. And we proceed to get in trouble. She will not tell me. She's even in our house this week. 70 years old. She will not tell me how she knows these things at all. And I still question her reaches to as far as where we were in high school. But I've been proven wrong, which was 8 miles away. Our gospel lesson today is much like that. Jesus is praying on our behalf that the Holy Spirit comes to protect us, to comfort us, to watch over us, to be around us at all times, to be part of our lives, and to sanctify us. Because His Son, God's Son, His chosen one, has come and died on the cross, and and was resurrected, and now He's getting ready to leave the world. And He prays this very passionate prayer, not only on the behalf of the disciples, but on our own behalf in 2012. It's a very powerful prayer. It's a very powerful message to us. It shows the love that God has for us and that Christ shares that love with us through this prayer. We don't know quite how it works. We don't understand how the Holy Spirit moves in and out and is part of our lives. But we do know it's not only the Holy Spirit's not only referenced in the Holy Bible, but the Hebrew Bible, and as well as the the Quran. We know that there's references to this spiritual being, this entity that God, that Jesus is praying for to come protect us and be part of our lives. We've had several deaths in this church this year already. We've had several in my own life, two in the same week in Holy Week. And we're reminded at each one of those services that God protects us. We are promised eternal life, and we are sanctified through the Holy Spirit and because of the love that God had for us, sending His Son to be crucified on the cross for our sins. We're guaranteed that. We're guaranteed that. We have to believe. We have to share that faith with others. That's our role in this. Our role is to reach out and lift others up and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through and around and about us. Our role is not trying to figure it out, much like my brothers and I couldn't figure out how my mom knows everything. Our job is to enforce and empower and share and bring that to our existence in our everyday lives. I challenge you to look at this gospel lesson again. And if you look at it again and replace that and make it very personal, make that prayer for you. Jesus is praying for you, not just His disciples, but for you and for me. If you read it a few times, it becomes quite powerful. Looking up to heaven, Jesus prayed, "I've made your name known to Kevin, whom you gave me from the world. He was yours, and you gave him to me, and he has kept your word. Now he knows that everything you have given me is from you, for the words you gave to me, I have given to him. He has received them, and he knows in truth that I came from you, and he believes that you sent me. I am asking on his behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on the behalf of those who you have given me. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I have been glorified in him, and now I am no longer in the world, but he is in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect him in your name that you gave me, so that he may be one as we are one. While I was with him, I protected him in your name that you gave me, that you have given me. I guarded him and not one of them was lost except for the one disciple that was to be lost, so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that he may have my joy made complete in himself. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take him out of the world, but I am asking you to protect him from the evil one. He does not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify him in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent him into the world. And for his sake, I sanctify myself, so that he also may be sanctified in truth." You plug that with your own name in that. That is the power and the love that Christ has for you and for me. It is the love he has for the world. And it is the love that we are to take into the world, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who sees all, knows all, and works in our lives. Be that instrument through God. Help the Holy Spirit work in this world, and remember that Christ prayed for you and for me. Amen. Now let us stand and reaffirm our faith by saying together the Nicene Creed.
The prayers of the people. Filled with joy on this royal feast of feasts, let us offer prayers to God who leads his sons and daughters through the Red Sea waters. For the holy churches of God, our bishop, the presbyters and deacons, our new brothers and sisters, this holy gathering, and all the holy people of God.
Glory and praise to you, O living God.
For the world and its leaders, our nation and its people. For all those in need, the suffering and the oppressed, travelers and prisoners, the dying and the dead.
Glory and praise to you, O living God.
For ourselves, our families, and those we love.
Glory and praise to you, O living God.
That Christ may fill us with the joy and happiness of his holy resurrection.
Glory and praise to you, O living God.
That we may enter the chamber of the divine wedding feast and rejoice without limit with the angels and saints.
Glory and praise to you, O living God.
For our special concerns and hopes, that in their naming we may know the certain presence of God with us. We pray for Catherine, our presiding bishop, Dean, our bishop, Gar, our rector, Ben, our assistant rector, Kevin, our assistant priest, Barbara, our deacon, and for all other clergy and people. In the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the 70 million Anglicans around the world on this Anglican Communion Sunday, and for St. Francis Canterbury House at Kansas State University in Manhattan. We pray for our outreach ministries, Interfaith Hospitality Network, the Community Kitchen, Emergency Food Pantry, Breakfast at St. Paul's through Episcopal Community Services, for the Backsnack program at Comanche Elementary School, for the ministry at our partner school, School of the Incarnation in Laprique, Haiti. For those serving in the armed forces, we pray for Chris, Stephen, Scott, Noah, Sarah, Patrick, Nicole, Aaron, Jason, Bradford, Colin, Andy, Mark, Alex, and Nate, and those you would name. In our congregation, we remember and pray for Sharon, David, Jessica, Susan, Marcy, Betty Lou, Martha, Sally, Meg, Jack, Paul, Gary, Hannah, Fred, Al, Loretta, Norma, Alan and his family, and for the repose of the soul of David McAdam, Elizabeth's husband. Those you would name. Glory and praise to you, O living God. For all who have died, that they may rest completely and joyfully in you, O God. Glory and praise to you, O living God. Remembering our most glorious and blessed Virgin Mary, St. Thomas, and all the saints, let us offer ourselves.